Left off in the previous year, just trying to determine who pays for what types of property. So at the end of the day, everyone's going to get reimbursed the amount in terms of value of what they megillah, either based on something damaged them, or they lent money, or or a woman's entitled to a ksuba. So it's not a question of getting the value. The question is which kind of property you're going to get from. The assumption of the entire sugya is that people would prefer a little bit of better quality land than a lot of weaker quality land. So the basic three categories are that Mazik pays from Mekitis, and Bachol pays alone pays from Athenanis, and Ksuba pays from Ziburis. So the Gemara's question that last halacha, and we say that Ksuba pays from Ziburis, so maybe it's not always true. Maybe it's not true if you collect from the Yisomim, but if you collect from the person himself, so that is not the case. So the Gemara is questioning back and forth whether that's right or not. And the Gemara quoted a little bit of a cryptic statement where the Mishnah refers to. So in Ezekiel, Ides v'achov beninus, and so it's Ishah Ziboris, and the Mishnah seems to be talking about collecting from him also. It seems that there's no difference. Whenever you collect the ksuba, it doesn't matter whether you collect it from the Yisrael, you're collecting from the person. So it's always going to be a busy Boris. So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood Pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara gives a whole brand new Pshat in the Mishnah. Let's take a look on Daf Mem Tesh for days. It's the towards the bottom, it's the first of the wide lines. The Gemara says the correct pshat in the Mishnah that differentiates between the three categories is as follows. The bottom of the Mishnah base. That we're not talking about collecting from the person proper. We're talking about a situation of an orev. It means that I'm obligated to pay you X amount of money because of a mazik, because of a ksuba, because of a bachov, and you don't think you're going to get the money from me. So a friend of mine steps up to the plate and says, "Listen, if this guy doesn't show up with the cash, I'm going to co-sign. I'm going to cover for him. I'm going to be his RA. I'm going to guarantee the loan and the super, etc." The Gemara says, "Because we're dealing with a case of RA, therefore the din changes as follows: Haikidine. So the RA becomes chayef to pay based on what the normal way of payment would have been vis-à-vis that particular obligation. So Nizikin. So normally, the Zekin is paid when the Mazik is still alive. The Bachov pays back the loan when the Lov is still alive. So whenever the person is alive, they pay what the appropriate manner was, either Idis or Beninis. So therefore, when the other pays back, he steps into the shoes. That's an Arbiz. He guarantees the loan. He steps into the shoes of the original person. But Ksubas Isha is usually paid after death. 99% of the time, the ksuba is paid as an almana once the husband dies. So now his estate, his yorshim, have to pay. And normally, when you collect from the ksuba, which is tantamount to collecting from Yisomim, that's going to be from Ziburis. So too, when you collect from the Arev, the Arev is not going to be more chomer than the Yisomim proper. So the basic halacha is that a ksuba is collected from Ziburis from Yisomim, not necessarily from the Baal himself. If the husband really would be alive and you're collecting from the Baal, then maybe the din is different. Maybe you collect from Beninus. It's possible. Well, it's eventually going to reject that, but it's possible. That which the Mishnah says you collect a ksuba from the Ziburis is talking about the unique case of an Arev, and the Arev follows whatever the rule of the Yisomim would have been. So now the Gemara just asks a technical question. That how do you have a case of an Arev and a Ksuba? So we have a situation where a person is getting married, and the wife is a little bit nervous that maybe he's not going to have the cash to pay the Ksuba at some point. So no problem. Somebody steps up to the plate at the chassid's dishes. No problem. I'll be the Arev on the Ksuba. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Who says that even works? The table laid the Arev of the Ksuba. Let me stop it. We're giving a whole Shibbol Torah that the Mishnah is talking about an Arev of Ksuba. Guess what? There's no such thing as an Arev. Ksuba, an Arev doesn't work for Ksuba. Why is that? So the Gemara has the following svara that the idea of an Arev is that I really, really am willing to be Meshavet myself. And I really mean this seriously because you're laying out money based on what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, give this guy a $50,000 loan. I'm going to co-sign it. So I know full well that the other person is potentially losing money. So there's a real Gemara's Das. There's a real seriousness that I'm really planning to be Meshavet myself. When it comes to Ksuba, come on. No, nobody's died, nobody's divorced, nobody thinks the ksuba is ever really going to be paid. Everyone's sitting around the chosin dish and they're schmoozing, and you get a message from the kala, you know, from the badekin, that, you know, I don't know, this guy's a little low on funds, but not so sure this is such a good deal. So a guy jumps in and says, "Oh, I'll be the orange." It was a couple, it's a joke. Nobody really meant that this is all, there's no gemara's das, because nobody's losing anything anyway. So the gemara is not so sure that there's even a concept of an orange when it comes to ksuba, because there's a lack of sincerity. It says the Gemara, no, the Kabbalah. You're right, a regular Arev would not work for Ksuba. We assume that's not so serious. There's a difference in halacha between an Arev and a Kabbalah. An Arev is just a plain and simple guaranteeing of a loan. A Kabbalah is a much higher level. How do you become a Kabbalah? That's unclear. That's what he's rationalizing in the other Mabasra. What has to happen? Do we change the text? Is there some physical action that occurs? So it's not clear what puts the person into the higher level of obligation, but that's what happened at the Chosin's dish. That the person said, "I'm not going to be an Arev. I'm going to be an Arev Kabbalah. I'm going to be a highest level." And therefore, such a Kabbalah would be valid. So says the Gemara, even that's not so simple. Hanich leman diyom a Kabbalah. Afagav the leistay nichsei lelove mishtav etchapir. So there's one opinion that says that that a kablon for a ksuba becomes chayev no matter what, whether the lover or kablon for a loan for a loan, whether the lover has nechassim, doesn't have nechassim, kablon trumps everything. But according to the opinion that says that the kablon is not really interested in becoming a kablon, you try to gauge what his sincerity was. On the one hand, he's trying to get this deal to go through. On the other hand, he doesn't really want to pay. So comes the Gemara and says, according to one opinion, that if the Kabbalah knows that the other fellow has land, so he doesn't think he's going to really have to pay, then he's willing to sign on sincerely. But if he really thinks he's going to cost the money, then he's just kind of bluffing. It's not serious. It's Michael Neymar. So the Gemara says that maybe, you know, that's what happened. Maybe the person who he signed off as a Kabbalah did have the property at the time, so therefore the Kabbalah took effect, and then the property got ruined. Or maybe that this is a different scenario. All these details we're talking about a person doesn't really mean it. He's just bluffing. He's just trying to get the chassid tish delayed for the bedekin. So he say, "Yeah, I'll be a kabbalah." The Gemara says maybe all those hesitations that we have, if the person is not serious, that's what he's talking about, a stranger. But if it's the father himself, who's mishaber himself for the son. So the father, he wants this to go through. He wants to obligate himself on behalf of the son. And therefore, the father can in fact, become a kabbalah, can become an orev for a ksuba. So again, this is all technical. This wasn't really asukim. Asukim was really to figure out whether a ksuba pays from ziburis or from benedis. But in passing, we might have four or five lines, just to make sure we got the case right, that there is sometimes a case of an orev for a ksuba. Since the Gemara mentioned a little bit about an orev for a ksuba, the Gemara continues a little bit more. Itmar, the bottom line. Everybody agrees that an Arev for a Ksuba is not really binding. The concept of just a plain simple Arev for a Ksuba is not binding because it has two strikes against it. Number one, it's only a Lashon of Arvus. An Arev is a very, very low level of obligation. It is not as significant as a Kabbalah. And again, we still don't know yet. We don't know the Basra. What in the world is the difference? How do you know you became a Kabbalah rather than an Arev? That's a loaded question. But whatever it is, you didn't become that. Your low-level obligation, your language was very, very weak, and it's a ksuba. And a ksuba, we assume the person is probably not so serious to be obligated himself for it because he doesn't feel bad. No one's losing any money anyway. So the chov, I feel guilty. I'm telling you to give $50,000 and I'm not gonna reimburse you. That's not right. I'm serious. So when it comes to an arv or a ksuba, we have two strikes against you. Two reasons to believe that you're not mishubah. Number one, you used a very, very weak lashon. And number two, is that it's a ksuba anyway. On the top of the Nurman Alf, but it's a kavun de balchov. But what if you use the higher lashon and it's a regular loan? So now you have two strikes for you. So you use the higher lashon of obligation of kavun and it's a balchov, so you most likely are serious about it. The rechom mishabit, everybody agrees that the shibut, that the obligation would take effect. What if you have cases where you have one of each, namely arv de balchov? So on the one hand, it's a balchov, so it's more of a reason to believe that you're obligating yourself. On the other hand, it's a very low level obligation. So it's a weaker lashon of our orev, not kavlon. So where do we do with that? So it's like a classic style gemara. There are two factors here. There's the lashon that you're using. So kavlon is a more serious lashon than orev, And what's the scenario? What's the case? Is it ksuba or is it bachol? Bachol is more likely that you meant to be mishabed yourself. So when you have two factors pointing in the direction of shibud, you're mishabed. You have two factors pointing in the direction of non-shibud, you're not mishabed. What about the middle cases? So orev the bachol, kavad the ksuba, pligi. And that was a machlokes. Ikalman the yomid, those who said, afogav the leisle nichse the loive mishabed, those who said that even if the loba doesn't have any property, we assume that you really, really meant to obligate yourself. Those who said, if the lover has property, so then you hope you're not going to have to pay, so then you're willing to jump off the obligation. But if it's really going to cost you, then you're much more hesitant. The Hilchos of the Gemara says, we pass in the halacha that under all circumstances, there's always going to be a shibud. Except for the case of an arv ksuba, the afgan nisla mishtabit. That in the case of a ksuba, just because you use the weak lashon arev, it's over. There's no shibud whatsoever. By timer, mitzvah the arv lo bide chosra. He says that the guy feels by the chosra's fish that I'm not costing the wife anyway. I'm trying to get this marriage, this mitzvah to go on. My goal is to make sure the couple gets married. So I'm going to start on I'm the arv. I'm the arv. No problem. I don't really mean that in 20 years from now they're going to come into my property. So since the person doesn't feel, it's like a loan where I told you to lay out $100,000, then what do you mean? It's a joke. What do you mean that I didn't mean to obligate myself? I forced you to give that. I compelled you to give the loan to somebody. I have to step up to the plate in years from now. So now the Gemara goes back to our original discussion about, we know the Mishnah tells us that a ksuba pays from Ziburis, from the lowest quality field, but we're not 100% sure what that's talking about. Is it talking about all the time, even if the husband is alive, or is it talking about only in the case where you're collecting from Yorshim? So I'm Ravina. So Ravina tries to bring a raya back to the original discussion. Toshma meikar de takantin. Let's go back to the to the original source of the takana, the original way Chazal set up the three different payment options. The Gemara quoted a braisa earlier that said explicitly the reason why we give the woman such shaka stuff, we give her the weakest, the lowest lowest quality stuff, is because she's going to want to get married anyway. When it comes to Baal Chov, we're afraid to give a Baal Chov the cheapest stuff because we're afraid no one's going to want to lend money anymore. But we don't have to be concerned with marriages that women are going to stop getting married. You know why? Because they're not getting high quality land for the ksubas. The women want to get married more than the men want to get married. And therefore, we're comfortable with giving the women the very, very weak kind of stuff at the end. It's not going to have any detriment down the line. The Isaac of Dalek Miyase, if you say that the only reason why we give the ksuba from Ziburis is because it's Yisomim, Haimishim Biyasmil. So then the Mishnah and the Braisa should have said the reason is because Yisomim paid from Ziburis. So why does the Braisa give you a whole other reason? Why does Tanoim give you a whole other reason to, because we're not concerned about the women getting married? Tiyufta the Bazut Tiyufta. So that was the final blow against Bazutra. Bazutra was the one who said earlier that the Ksuba only collects from Ziburis from Yisomim, but from the husband himself, so it collects regular like a maintenance. And the Gemara of Bazutra is rejected. That's Halach Lamai. So we assume that, like the simple reading of the Mishnah, that Mazik pays for Indus and Bachol pays for Indus, Exorcisha pays for Ziburis, and it doesn't make a difference who you're collecting from. Another Gemara continues with another statement of Mazutra, Nunam and Alpha, the two dots. Amma Mazutra, Braid of Nachman, Shed of Nachman. So Mazutra, the son of Rav Nachman, said another statement in the name of his father, Shachoba Yotzi Ala Yisomim. If there is a document that's being brought out in days and against Yisomim, the father lent money 10 years ago, and now the mob is coming to collect his debt, and he brings it up against the Yisomim. Ava b'shekosev ha-shevach. And it says in the document that the loan will be collected from the best, highest quality land. Now, the two parties can make whatever conditions they want. The halacha is that if you don't do anything else, if you just borrow money, stop, you don't make any conditions, then you're only entitled to collect from dating this. But if you make a condition, you write into the document, I want to get from it, so I want to get from the best land, you can decide whatever you want. So it actually says in this document, and nobody's questioning the truth of this document. The problem is that do we have a right to go ahead and enforce this document? What's the problem? we have a rule that we don't want to take away from the best property of Yisrael. The Chazal was very, very worried. This poor young Yorshim. We want to look out for their best interests. And now we have a little bit of a contradiction. On the one hand, it says Pembo, it says black and white in the Shtar. Yeah, I'm here, I'm going to pay back from this. On the other hand, the person wrote the Shtar, no longer alive. We're collecting from his Yisomim, and generally from Yisomim, we only collect from Zibur. So what's the name? So Mazut just said the name of his father. No matter what it says explicitly you're going to collect from the best, it's going to be ignored, and we just give you from the cheapest stuff possible.
Can someone prevent that? Meaning that if it's halacha l'maisa, you know, at the end of the day, you can only collect from Zboros. So someone who lends money is going to say, okay, how do I protect myself?
But that's the Gemara saying that if you collect from the person himself, then you're protected.
No, but
from the Yisroelim, right? So that's the problem. That's exactly what Masud is saying. You can't protect yourself because as much as we want to encourage you to lend money, Beisdin always has to weigh in life. We always have to weigh the pros and the cons. So on the one hand, we want to keep the lending going. On the other hand, we must look after the Yisroelim, and to take away the Yisroelim's best shot at real estate is also not a good thing. So it's going to be tough.
Well, could he specify specific land? And they could do that. Right?
There is a concept of an apotheke. Yeah. There's a concept of an apotheke. But would that trump yourself? I don't remember all these words. I don't remember. So comes by Zutra and says that ain't the problem because Yisomim seems to trump everything. I'm Rabbi. Abai says, I'll prove to you that Mazutra is right. Teda, the Balchov din of Ibenis. Because we know that the din of a collective of Yisomim changed the regular standards. A regular Balchov collects for Benedis, the medium stuff. On the Yasmi Bisiburis, and we know the Mishnah says, the Chazal made a takana that when you collect from Yisrael, you always go down a notch. You always go down to Ziburis. So Abai says that we already have precedent in Halacha of going down to Ziburis. So what's the difference whether we go down from Benedis to Ziburis, or we go down to what you wrote into the Shtar, down to Ziburis? At the end of the day, the Halacha stands that Yisomim always collect, always only have to pay from Ziburus. So Amalei Rava. So Rava said to Abaye, whether the din is right or not, I'm not sure, says Rava, but your right is not correct. Hachi Hashta, that proof you want to give is not accurate. Because Baal Chov didn't be the right to the Ziburus. The starting point of Baal Chov really mean that Torah is to pay from Ziburus. Before any takana started, if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, a guy lent $1,000 and now we come and collect the money, where do we go after? So the din is minatar, we go after the worst stuff, the ziburus. How do you know that? Kid'ula, the Yama'ula, Ula taught us about Torah, about Chab, the ziburus. The midaraisa, about Chob pays back from the weakest stuff. Shinema, b'chutz ta'amar, b'ishvudam. The Pasuk describes in Bashas Kisekse that when somebody lends money, now you want to go and collect that money, so you're not allowed to go barge into the guy's house. You have to wait, let him bring the money out himself. Let the Shlomo Basin go and get the stuff for you. So you have to wait. So the Pasuk says that b'chutz ta'amod b'ishat tadneisha b'yotzi alech zav t'chutza. So the person who you have a claim against, he brings out, he decides what he's going to give you. So the Torah gives that option to the lover to decide what to give you. Obviously, what's the lover going to give you? He's going to give his junk. It's in his best interest to give you the worst kind of stuff. So from the back of it, the Torah depicts that illustration of paying back a chov at the discretion of the lover. The lover has the upper hand, has to choose what he wants to pay. That's tantamount to telling me, so what's the derech of a person to bring out of his house the weakest, the shvachas of his stuff? So that teaches us that you pay back miziburis. So why is the Mishnah say that the din is that a balchoy that alone pays back from beninus? It's to protect society that people shouldn't want to no longer lend money. Guy's gonna be fair. Lending $100,000, then he's gonna pay me back with stuff in Idaho. What am I doing that? So therefore, mid the rabbanon, they upped it up a little bit, and they made you pay for business. So the starting point of a regular bachoy was that mid the raisa you pay ziburis, mid the rabbanon you pay business. Gabi yasmiak for rabbanon the raisa to protect the interests of the assignment. So the rabbanon went back to the raisa. So here again, Chazal are walking a tightrope. On the one hand, they want to protect the assignment. On the other hand, they want to make sure people lend money. So Chazal said that we'll follow whatever the din derais is. Vis-a-vis Yisomim, let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu standards. And we'll go back to the din of Ziburis. El HaHoch over here, by the document that says explicitly, you're going to collect Idis, came with the din derais of Idis. If you spell out that you want to pay back Idis for your loan, the Minat Torah, that's binding. Minat Torah, you will mishab yourself. Minat Torah, you will mechayv yourself. So Afil me asked me, now we did this. So then we should collect from Idis, even from Yisomim. So at the end of the day, it's not clear. On the one hand, we have this din called Ein Ifram and Chasim, you know, Yisomim element of Tziburis. And Rav is questioning, it's not so Bashut. Rav is saying that it could be that if you spelled out that you want Idis, so as Henry said before, you can protect yourself. So Abaye and Mazutra say, there's no way to protect yourself. That Chazal were more concerned about the Yisomim than they were about you. And therefore, you're never ever going to get anything more than Ziburis that is, no matter what clause you put into the document. And Rav is saying, no, Rav is saying you can put a clause in the document that's going to protect you. So the Gemara questions Rav, that Rav claims you could put in that clause in the document. Ularava, Batani Avram Chazo. We learned in a Braisa from Avram Chazo. So it's to the best of my knowledge, this is the only place that the name Avram appears in Chazal without the hey. It's interesting, the name Avraham is also not at all a common name in Chazal. I never quite understood this culturally. There are certain names that are so common today that we never find in Chazal. There's no Moshe in Chazal. There's no Avram in Chazal. There's no David in Chazal. They're bizarre. The names that are just the regular ABC names of Jewish people today. So somehow in Chazal, I never find. The one place, the best by now, is we find Avram, it's Avram. It's not even Avram itself. Why that's so? I got to get my study.
There's some reverence. They couldn't even imagine using a name of like
Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yeah, but the problem is developed because certain names are indigenous. That they use Yitzchak, they use Yaakov. There are 100 of Yaakovs in Shas, and there are no Moshes, there are no Avrams, there are no Davids. I don't know. You ever think about it? I don't know. It's a strange thing. But Tony Abu Chazal, so we learned the Brahis from Abu Chazal. Ain't it from Nisi Yisomim, element of Ziburus? Abu Chazal taught us the Brahisa that you don't collect from Nisi Yisomim except from the cheapest stuff. But I feel who ain't the Zikit and Zokim. Even if it's Mazik and Nizah, you know, even though Mazik and Nizah from the Torah should collect from Idis. And Zokim dinam in the Raisa of Idis. So you see that Chazal was so worried about Yisomim, they changed the dinam in the Raisa. Not only did they change the dinim the rabbanon of knocking a balchov back to Ziburus where he really belongs in the Torah. They took chiyuv of tashlumin that should have been deraisa, such as mazik, and says, thank you very much. Forget the pasuk chumash. Ein from nechziyasam element of Ziburus. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. That din that the Braisa records that Yisraelim pay back for hezek and Ziburus, it's not changing the din deraisa. So remember, there's a throwback to earlier, that there was one Tali Rabbi Shmuel who said that when you evaluate Idis, so you evaluate it based on the types of fields that the Nizak, the person who was damaged, has. So in theory, you have a situation where the best of the person who was damaged is equal to the worst of the damager, the Mazik. So Minatori, you just pay back from your Shvachas stuff, from your Ziburis. With the Rabbanon, they upped it up to make you pay from your Idis. So since that's only a Chumah with the Rabbanon, the theme of Rav is, whenever there's a Chiyuv of Idis Deraisa, then Chazal didn't tamper with that, and they made you pay even for yourself with Idis. Whenever the Chiyuv of Idis is only with the Rabbanon, then they played around with it. So says Rabba, that this is talking about, that's an area, the Amid Deraisa, this Shem, you know, taking an Olam, taking Rabbanon with the Mazik, that with the Rabbanon, to protect the people who got damaged, they made you pay a little bit higher, they upped the ante a little bit. You got the Yasbek, we're about a derais. And for Yisomim, so they followed the derais. So again, we still have this conceptual question. We have a mission that says that Yisomim always pay back from Ziburis. According to some, it's always true. According to others, it's not always true. It's only true when there's a Durabon there. Whenever there's a Chir Deraisa, so then the game's over. Matani Rabbi Eliezer, and he saw, Ain't it from Nichzi Yisraim, Element of Ziburis, Rafilu and Idis. So it says, Beferish in the Braisa, that you only pay back from Nichzi Yisraim, only Minas Ziburis, even if they're Idis. What does that mean, even if they're Idis? Maya Filu Idis, I've got the Chaz of Idis Bishtara. Doesn't that mean that you wrote in Idis into the Shtar and you still pay back from Ziburis? This is low. We got it wrong. My idis shafoy idis kederav. It means yama rava. His exiburis gover bina idis. If I damage your weaker stuff, I have to pay back for my best stuff. Shafoy idis gover bina beninis. if my iddis goes down, it's not around anymore, gets lost, so then I pay from the benedis. So when it comes to your somim, so we throw you back down and you pay for the weakest stuff. But im tzalomim is a real chiyuv deraisa to pay back from iddis. So then the din is you have to pay back from iddis even in the situation of the yisun. So now the mishnah said ain't from iddis yisun as ziburis, the original halacha that we've been talking about that you only pay back from iddis yisun as ziburis. Boy revachdovi ber ami yisunim she'amruk tanim afilu gedolim. What kind of yisum are we talking about? Yisum, there are two kinds of yisum in halacha. They were talking about little babies under the age of bar mitzvah who are raised and appointed somebody to watch over their property. What are we talking about? The guy's 25 years old, he's a gadol, but he was yorish, his father's property. He's also considered to be a yosum. So when we speak about this kula that yisum only pay back from ziburis, so what age yisum are we talking about? What's the shaila? So the shaila is why was this halacha instituted in the first place? Why were we so worried to make the person only pay back from Naziburis? So Takante, David Rabbanan Gabi Yasme, was this just simply a takana to protect the interests of the Yisomim? Like Tanim Ovid Rabbanan, the Gdom Ovid Rabbanan. So if it was made as a takana simply to help the innocent, the little kids, so then the kid's 5 years old. The kid's 55 years old, and he's quite a yosom. So that is, we don't have to make a takana to protect. He knows how to handle for himself. So then the takana would not be made. Odilma, or maybe no. Maybe the reason why you only pay back when he's ziburis is mishum de lo masik adai de the mahal de misleg of nafim nichse kamayas me. Now they know dollars. Maybe the reason why you pay back ziburis is for the following. Really, every balchov should pay back ziburis. The only thing is, we're afraid that mishum nilas dollars. So whenever we're worried that a person's not going to want to lend money, so therefore we're forced to up the ante. So when it comes to yisomim, what are you afraid of? I'm not going to lend money to a guy because I think he's going to die, and then I'm going to go get from his yisomim, and they're not going to pay me back. It's so unlikely. People don't think in those terms. So therefore, when kolzman that I'm collecting from the loiv himself, so then Chazal had no choice, they had to up it a little bit and give me the option of collecting business. But I'm collecting from the yisomim, so then just leave them in their ice. Nothing to worry about. No one's going to not lend money because they're afraid that the guy's going to die and they won't be able to collect the money properly. So therefore, that would apply then yisum gedolim, then yisum ketanim. So it's unclear, this whole bit we've been talking about, all the intricacies of this halacha for the last 2 days about what kind of yisum, etc. So Tachas, the wants to know, does this apply to little babies, to little kids, or does this apply even to grown-up yisum? So the Gemara says, Toshma detani abai kshisha. Abai, the older Abai, the regular Abai was one we know, and there was a man named Abai Kshisha. He was the older of the Abayis. He taught us a Braisa. The Braisa says explicitly that the Yisom that we're talking about is referring to Gedolim, and how much more so it's referring to Ketanim. So Gemara says, wait a second, who says that Braisa is talking about our topic? The government of the cut the number, and Zibur is low. So there has to be another halacha that Yisomim are different, that anytime you want to collect from Nichsi Yisomim, you have to always take a shvua. So maybe when it comes to that halacha, then a gov and a kotter are the same. But in Ziburis, vis-a-vis Ziburis, we're not sure. So Gemara concludes, the hilchus on the final halacha is, for all halachas of Yisomim, Yisomim means big Yisomim, little Yisomim. It's all the same, both in terms of requiring a shvua to collect as well as from only collecting from Ziburis. Okay, stop it.
Yisomim, like, everyone eventually becomes a
Yasom. Right, that's
what. Halachas is about Yisomim.